Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Back in HQ, Medellin. Decent audio quality. Decent video quality. And tomorrow we're getting right back in the swing of it with more whiteboard videos. So stay tuned for that on the George Gammon channel. But right now we want to go into this announcement the Fed just made. And like most things, they're not being honest with you. I don't think they're revealing their true intentions as to why they are making these policy changes. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to show you the specific policy change I'm referring to that just announced a couple days ago. And then we're going to go through the nitty-gritty of the data, and I'm going to show you why there's a lot more to the story than what the Fed is leading you to believe. So let's start by going over this announcement. And you guys, we did a video on they kept rates the same. We all know that. It's all about what Jerome Powell was saying. But we also need to recognize the Fed made an announcement about their balance sheet. So they've been doing QT, which most of you know is the opposite of QE. QE is when they're buying treasuries. QE or mortgage-backed securities. QE is when they're letting them run off their balance sheet. They're not necessarily selling them, although they could. Usually they're just letting them mature. And so they've been doing that to a great degree. In fact, let's go over. We're going to go back to this announcement. But before we do, just so you can get a good visual, here's the Fed's balance sheet. And back in April, actually, let's go to May because we're going to be referencing May of 2022 a lot throughout this video. Very important date. So we see starting in May, balance sheet around $8.9 trillion. And where we are today, about $7.3 trillion. That's a big, big decrease. And this little blip right there is for the BTFP. When the banks were going bust. That's why it's March of 2023. But a huge decrease. So this announcement, let's get back to it, is when they're coming out and saying, okay, we're not going to go back to QE, but we're going to kind of reduce the amount of QT that we're doing. So you've got to sit there and scratch your head and say, well, why are they doing this? And actually, let's get into the article and see if they give us some sort of BS excuse. The Federal Reserve announced plans Wednesday to slow the speed of its balance sheet drawdown to ensure this process does not create undue stress in financial markets. I'm not buying that. The Fed said that starting on June 1st, it will reduce the cap on Treasury securities it allows to mature and not be replaced to $25 billion from $60 billion per month. So that's the main takeaway here. They were doing $60 billion of QT per month. Again, let's go back to this chart. So this line was going down, with the exception of the BTFP, by right around $60 billion per month. And now they're reducing that to $25 trillion. And the argument for QE itself is, well, remember, we want to increase interest rates. We want to decrease interest rates at the long end of the curve. And with QT, we want to increase interest rates. Why? Because we want to slow the rate of consumer price inflation. At least what they'll admit to. That's the story. So why, if inflation is sticky, I mean, the Fed's not dropping rates, why would they reduce QT? It's not like they're getting close to where they started. Let's remember, back prior to QE1, their balance sheet was right around $800 billion, the B. So it's not like they're in any danger of not having the balance sheet big enough from the standpoint of the financial system. When you compare it today to what it was in right here, June of 2008. So again, this is a head scratcher. It doesn't make a lot of sense. When you look at what the Fed's trying to do with the rate of inflation, and you know they say it's for financial conditions. Really? I mean, let's just go back here to 2004. Financial conditions are pretty good, 2004, 2005, and there was $800 billion. That's the Fed's balance sheet. And well, we're not going to get to the nitty-gritty of the reserves, but the reserves, bank reserves, were only around $40 billion. So, okay, if financial conditions were fine as far as liquidity, bank liquidity, in the real economy with $800 billion as far as the Fed's total balance sheet, why are we worried about financial conditions when the balance sheet now is at $7.3 trillion? See, that in and of itself is a head-scratcher. But let's go over, let's see, where should we go next? Let's start with this, that this very important month or the very important date. That would be May of 2022. Why is this so important? All right, we're going to skip around here a little bit. Then we're going to connect the dots at the end of this video. So this is the TGA. Most of you know this from watching my videos, the Treasury General Account. This is the liability of the Fed. Basically, it's the Treasury's checking account. You can look at it that way. And when Janet Yellen is paid from a non-bank entity, let's go through this quickly here. So let's just say that you pay your taxes. Your tax bill this year is $5,000. So you've got $5,000 in your savings account or your checking account at B of A or Wells Fargo, whatever it is. And you're like, okay, well, we got to do it. So let's go ahead and wire them the money. We'll pay a debit card or write them a check or whatever it is. And so you got to pay your $5,000 in taxes. So what does, let's just say, Wells Fargo do with your available account balance? Well, they decrease it by $5,000, right? Okay. So what happens to M2 money supply or M1 when they do that? Well, all else being equal, the money supply goes down by $5,000. Okay, so then what happens on the Fed's balance sheet? Well, those reserves go from Wells Fargo's account down into the TGA. That's how Janet Yellen gets paid, right? So she is basically taking $5,000 out of M2. It's gone, disappears. And the way she gets paid is those reserves go from Wells Fargo's reserve account down to the TGA. So Wells Fargo's balance sheet just shrank by $5,000 as well. Okay, but when we do this in reverse, because obviously she's got to, or she's going to take your $5,000 and spend it somewhere. She's going to give someone a stimmy check or a Social Security payment, or she's going to most likely send it to Zelensky. Sad but true. And but when she spends it, well, when she spends it to Zelensky, then it goes offshore, and that's, we're gonna get to that in a moment as well. But let's just assume that she spends it on Social Security payments. Okay, great. Well, then the process just works in reverse. The reserves, if you want to look at it that way, go from her account, TGA, into a reserve account with wherever that check is cashed. So let's just say the Social Security recipient bank, so let's say they bank at Wells Fargo as well. So then they take their $5,000 Social Security payment, they deposit it in Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo gets the bank reserves as the offsetting asset. And then that person's account balance goes up by $5,000. So Wells Fargo, their balance sheet increases by the exact same amount of the initial decrease. And M2 or M1 goes up by the exact same amount of the initial decrease. Right? So on net balance, nothing's changed. Okay. Now that you understand that process, let's go ahead and look at what happened with the TGA starting in May of 2022. We're right at a peak, right around $1 trillion, $945 billion. And then if you guys go back to 2022, you remember we had this drama with the debt ceiling. We didn't get resolved until right around May 2023. So what Janet Yellen had to do is she just had to bring in tax receipts. She's just paying everything with tax receipts. But the main point I want to make is the TGA on net balance, in other words, she spent right around $900 billion. So there's $900 billion more dollars going out than are coming back in. That's what we can see by the TGA going from $945 billion all the way down to 197. I mean, at a point here, we were at 61. So she took it down within that year from May of 2022 to May of 2023 by around $900 billion. So again, to make sure we're all on the same page, there's $900 billion more dollars going out than are coming in. So if she sent out, and just to keep things easy, let's just use the same example with taxes coming in and then Social Security payments going out. Well, if she had $900 billion worth of Social Security payments coming out on net, you would expect that to show up somewhere. In fact, how can it not show up somewhere? Let me show you what I'm referring to. We go over to the Fed's H6 release, H6 data, and I'm pulling up the specific numbers from the same time frame. Hopefully you guys can see this. We've got May 2022 to May of 20, whoops, that's March, May of 2023, right here. Okay, so if Janet Yellen is spending, and again, we're talking about the net, so she is putting $900 billion more into the economy than she is taking out. That, you would assume, checking account balances, savings account balances, account balances, and remember, when we're looking at the M1 and M2 data, this includes corporations. This includes all non-bank entities. So average Joe and Jane, small and mid-sized businesses, mega corporations, everything that's a not hedge funds, pension funds, it's all going to be accumulated, aggregated into this H6 data, because this just shows you straight what's happening with bank account balances. All right. So if Janet Yellen is putting $900 billion into the U.S. economy through this spending by bringing down the TGA, it has to show up somewhere. So let's go ahead and look at, we can ignore currency in circulation for obvious reasons. Demand deposits. What are demand deposits? Well, checking accounts. Okay, so you would assume that this probably went up by at least $500 billion. But we look at May of 2022, it's $4.9 trillion. And we go down to May of 2023, and $4.9 trillion. Okay. Well, obviously, I mean, people are flushed with money for whatever reason. And so they were probably just taking all of these, you know, the almost $1 trillion in Social Security payments, just using that as an example, but $1 trillion in some sort of payments. And they're probably just so flushed with cash, they're just putting them in their savings accounts. So obviously the savings accounts would have gone up by at least $1 trillion during this time. Well, let's take a look. So we've got May of 2022, savings account, basically other liquid deposits, at $13.5 trillion. Okay. Then we go down to May of 2023 and we're at $11.3 trillion. Wait a minute here. So we have a decrease of 2.2. We'll just call it 2 trillion to make the math easy. We've got a decrease, not an increase of a trillion. We have a decrease of 2 trillion while Janet Yellen was spending, according to these numbers, $900 billion. Well, let's just call it a trillion, into the economy. How? That dog don't hunt. That math doesn't work. I barely graduated high school, and even I can tell you that. So then you might be able to say, okay, well, look, all of these savings deposits, they were going into treasuries. Well, maybe. I mean, Janet Yellen wasn't selling that many, but she was selling some to pay off other debt. And she was obviously paying off the Fed, who was allowing those treasuries to roll off their balance sheet to mature. So, well, maybe that's it. Okay, but if you, let's just say that there was an asset swap, savings for treasuries. Okay, great. Well, that's fine. That would explain why this number, the savings account number, has gone down, but it doesn't explain why the checking account balances are still the same, right? Because let's just assume that's what happened. Well, then the checking account balances would go up by the same amount as the savings account balances went down. Again, that dog don't hunt. The math doesn't work. Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do, and this year it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers, guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, The Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And we will see you in Orlando, May 31st through June 2nd. And then we say, okay, well, a lot of these savings deposits went over into CDs, which makes a lot of sense because they're getting a higher interest rate, or into retail money market funds. Now we're hopping from M1 over to M2. And just remember that M2 is just simply M1 plus these small denomination time deposits like CDs and retail money market funds. So even if you want to argue that all of this money went over here, it still doesn't explain why on net we have a decrease and why it's not at the very least flat. Now you say, George, you've got to understand that the banks, I mean, you say this in your videos all the time, that the banks are the ones that are really controlling the money supply with how much they're lending or maybe how much they're not lending. Okay, great. Well, let's go ahead and pull that up. We've got bank credit from May 2022. Let's zoom in a bit. Bank credit from May of 2022, we are right around, let's call it 17 trillion. And if we fast forward to May of 2023, right around 17 trillion. In fact, it went up by about 300, maybe $200 billion, if anything. So flat to up $200 billion, which should have been, all else being equal, an increase to M2 money supply. But when we just look, and I'll show you the chart here, this is just the chart that's derived from the H6 data we just went over. But when we look at May of 2022, even though, if anything, bank credit went up just slightly, we see that there's this big decrease, which was represented in the H6 data that we looked at on that spreadsheet. So where is the money going? this becomes very challenging to think through. Now, it is true that some of the money was probably going to the Fed to pay them off for those maturing treasuries, but it wasn't just treasuries that were rolling off their balance sheet. It was mortgage-backed securities as well. So you could say maybe that was, let's just say, 300 of the roughly 900 billion. Where'd the other 600 billion go? Because let me give you the punchline. Let's look at the trade deficit. And this gets incredibly complex because there are so many variables. But I've been thinking about this for the last 2 weeks. I was thinking about this nonstop in St. Parts. And the conclusion I have come to is it's most likely leaving the United States through the trade deficit. Because if you look at the trade deficit, we are running right now. And by the way, back in May of 2022, we were at 80 billion per month. So if you think about this in terms of an annualized number, I mean, we're looking at a trillion right there dollars that are leaving the United States every single year. So now this makes quite a bit more sense when we look at this massive decrease in the numbers, the money aggregates, if you want to call them that, with M1 and M2, on top of Janet Yellen dumping all of these currency units, all these dollars into the United States economy during this time frame via the TGA. So just so you guys are all on the same page here, in my view, this is my base case, what's likely happening is Janet Yellen is spending those dollars into the economy. They're going into people's checking accounts, and people are buying stuff at Target, Home Depot, whatever. And Target, Home Depot, their checking accounts also are included in this aggregate, but they're sending most of those dollars straight over to China, Indonesia, Mexico, India, whatever it is, to import all the stuff that the Americans are buying at Walmart, Home Depot, and Target. So this becomes quite a significant problem if it continues. And we go back to bank credit, and it doesn't look like it's doing anything. I mean, loans and leases are up, but what's interesting is if loans and leases are going up, the banks are selling off more of the treasuries, mortgage-backed securities that they own, which I won't get into the nitty-gritty of the plumbing, but basically it's a wash. So you've got a decrease in the amount of treasuries or mortgage-backed securities that they own, an increase in loans and leases, which means a wash for the overall money supply, which is what we can see here in total bank credit. So if this continues, and let's also assume the trade deficit is going to continue, which that's probably the easiest prediction I've ever made in my life, other than the government deficit spending increasing, we can rest assured that the trade deficit is going to stay a deficit for quite some time. So those dollars are leaving, but they're not being replenished by the banking system. And you've got the Fed doing QT at the same time. Now we're starting to connect the dots. See where I'm going with this? So let's go back to the Fed's balance sheet. And I can, again, there are no certainties. I can't get into Jerome Powell's head, but I guarantee you, well, I can't, I shouldn't say guarantee, that's too strong a word. I would be very surprised is if you sat down with Jerome Powell or someone at the Fed and you had a couple beers and you asked them about this, you'd say, why on earth are you reducing the rate of QT? Aren't you guys trying to stop consumer price inflation? It's sticky, 3.5%. What happened to your 2% target? Yada, yada, yada. And they're like, yeah, I mean, we might be trying to do that, but we're looking at the money supply aggregates. And this this is in the no bueno zone. This is not good. And if the banks just stop lending, or they're not lending more than the amount of loans that are being paid off, so on net balance, that would be everything else being equal, the money supply going down, while on top of that, you've got Janet Yellen sucking money out of the system, going into the TGA. She's not spending it back out. And you've got this massive trade deficit where $60, $70, $80 billion per month are leaving the United States. That puts you into a position where, I mean, it sounds insane, but the lack of money supply actually gets in the way of economic activity. I mean, take it to an extreme. Let's just assume for a moment and at the end of the day, by the way, this is a bailout for the banks. And I'll tell you why. Because let's just assume for a moment, let's go back to M2. Actually, let's go to M1. That's more a reflection of, do I have M1 pulled up? We can just even go to checking account balances, demand deposits, and I can zoom in for you. So right now with checking accounts and demand deposits, and overall savings accounts, let's just assume this is a proxy for all of M1, just because I don't have the chart. Aha, here it is. Awesome. We got it. There we go. This is not what you want to see if you're the banking system, because this is why the fewer currency units, it's making it harder for those people to pay off the debt, because the debt's nominal. The debt doesn't change. So let me take it to an extreme so you can get your head around this easily. Right now, we're at 17, 18 trillion, call it, in M1. Let's just assume for a moment that we woke up tomorrow and M1 was at 10 trillion. Well, you say, oh, George, well, that's no problem, because it's not about the amount of currency units. It's about goods and services. And I completely, completely agree. But we have to remember the debt. So it is true that over a certain amount of time, prices would adjust. You'd have 10 trillion, or you have half the money supply. So prices would, all else being equal, prices would go back down to a level that was in relationship or was consistent with the amount of currency units that were available and the velocity and all that stuff. But the one thing, the one price that doesn't come down is how much you owe on your mortgage payment. So let's just assume right now your mortgage payment is $2,000 a month. Let's assume right now that your car payment is $1,000 a month. So that's $3,000 a month in your student loan. It's another $500 or whatever. So let's say that all of these debt payments that you have every single month are equal $5,000. Okay, great. Well, if we cut the money supply in half, then the prices of all the things that you buy goes down, but so do your wages. Let's remember, you say, well, that's no big deal because the relationship or the ratio is still the same. Right, but your debt payment's still $5,000 a month. So what happens? You default. And what happens to the bank? They go bust. You see how this is all connected? So in my view, the Fed is looking at M1 and they're saying, whoa, yeah, we want to bring inflation down, but we don't want to start the next Great Depression. So we've got to pump the brakes here. And hopefully, if you're the Federal Reserve, by them pumping the brakes on QT, that will dampen the reduction in the money aggregates as a result of everything else that we talked on this video. So you can have that soft landing and you don't just take that jet airplane and just do a nosedive straight into the runway, which is, I think, what they would predict if these money aggregates continue to go down while at the same time the amount of debt is staying the same or going up. So this is the secret that I don't think the Fed will be sharing with you anytime soon as to why they did this. I don't want to call it a pivot, but in a way, it you could call it, it's something close, right? Where they were doing $60 billion per month in QT while they're trying to fight inflation. It's still above their 2% target and all these things. All of a sudden, they're like, whoa. Now we're only going to do $25 billion. It's a head scratcher. Unless you look at the data, you get into the nitty gritty, you look into the nuance, you connect the dots, and then it makes a lot of sense. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism. Make sure you are getting your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. It's going to be incredible. It's coming up here in a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, for heaven's sakes. We've got some amazing speakers. You guys can check this out. Mike Green, Kenny McElroy, Snyder's going to be there. Hartman, McIntosh, Mark Moss, Joseph Wang. In fact, I'm going to love to kind of pick Joseph's brain on the exact topics that I'm talking about on this video. I think that he would probably agree, but I'm sure he's going to have some incredible insights there. And then we have all these bald guys, Rich Cooper, Robert Barnes, and Ivor Cummins. And I think Ivor Cummins is going to steal the show. It's going to be incredible. I'll probably speak as well. We're going to have a surprise guest speaker in there. VIP guest, Kiyosaki. Brent's going to hang out with everybody. Tracy's going to be there. The uneducated economist, Simon himself, Viva Fry, is going to take everybody bowling. So this is an event that you're not going to want to miss. You can get your tickets at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And I will see you in Orlando in a couple weeks. And we'll see you in the next video.